The word of the Lord is good and true and anointed. So, Father, we worship you tonight. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We welcome you and we thank you that you are not far off, that you are not on some planet somewhere, but you are within us. And you paid a dear price in your Son to make that possible. We thank you for the living word that is within us. We thank you, Lord, that your word has not lost its power. Thank you that your word is filled with your presence, with your anointing. And when we mix faith with the word, your promises come to pass in our lives. We thank you tonight that you teach us. Thank you, Lord, that our future is sure, because you are our future. You're the one that orders our footsteps. You're the one that lights our path. You're the one that speaks in our spirit. And you're not far away. You're in our hearts. You know our hearts. You know our minds. You know the inner thoughts. You know our coming in and our going out. And we're thankful for that. Thank you for the blood that washes us clean and white as snow. Thank you, Lord, as we walk in your word and as we walk in your light, that your blood continuously washes us clean from all sin and unrighteousness. Thank you that it's your word that washes us. Thank you that it's your spirit that washes us from the inside out. And tonight we receive your word. We receive the cleansing by the water of the word. We thank you that Christ is formed within us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we are going from glory to glory. We're going into different dimensions in you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Now, you've heard me speak about us being a word out of the mouth of God, haven't you? Mm-hmm. And you've heard me say that I promise that I will tell you how that works, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Good. So this is your opportunity. So listen carefully tonight. Let's start with John chapter 14. You are a word out of the mouth of God, and you've been spoken into the earth. And just this simple concept has changed my life. It's simple in one way, but it's so profound, because if and when we accept this and we receive this in faith and we renew our minds to this fact, you know what? We won't be the same. The church won't be the same. The community won't be the same. You will never again suffer from inferiority, rejection, or anything like that. You won't. That's how powerful this is. You won't live in the past. You won't suffer from condemnation. You won't sit around thinking, well, you know, if this and if I had grown up differently or anything. If you understand this concept, you're well on your way to living a powerfully victorious Christian life. And you will be able to change the lives of people in a profound way. And so, John 14 from verse 16. Well, let me spell it out. John 14, verse 16 to 21. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Amplified says, explains the comforter as counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, that he may remain with you forever. Just that alone is powerful in its own right. The Holy Spirit is all of that. And where does he live? In us. In you, he is the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, and the standby. And Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you. He already knew that the Holy Spirit was going to be given. He had to wait for the time. So the time came, he asked, and then remember with Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And he said, he will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may remain with you forever. Remember in the prayer school, I said many times, you know, people at the end of a meeting, Lord, please be with us. He will give us the comforter that he may remain with you forever. Where? In us. Not someplace there. Here. Right here behind your belly button. In there. In the temple. Verse 17. The Spirit of Truth. So he's all of those other things, and he's the Spirit of Truth. And we know that the word says he will show us the truth, and we will know the truth, and we will be set free. Set free from whatever is holding us back from entering that fullness. So he is the Spirit of Truth. He will tell you the truth. What he will do is he will tell you the truth about your own heart. The lies we believe about ourselves. When we think we're okay and we're not. He's the Spirit of Truth. So he will tell you that truth so that he can replace it with his truth. So that you can become the new truth. But Jesus is also the truth. And this is part of the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. Okay? This is just by the way. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, nor know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Now this is in John. He was talking about after the Spirit's poured out. Where are we? After the Spirit's poured out. So, he is where? In you. Amen? I like this. For he lives with you constantly. It's not like he leaves one day, you know, when we have those days, those kind of off days. And where are you, Lord? It just doesn't feel like you're around. That's why we don't live by our feelings. We live by knowing. We know the Word. We walk in faith, and we know that he constantly lives with us and is in us. I will not leave you orphans, without comfort, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. How? In the Holy Spirit. And obviously he will come physically one day. Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that time, when that day comes, which is when? Now. You will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So where's the Father? In us. Where's the Spirit? In us. Where's Jesus? In us. Not far off somewhere. He's in us. Where is the Father seated? On the throne. In your heart, right? And where is Jesus seated? Of the Father in heavenly places. So, where are heavenly places then? Right. There are heavenly places. There are heavenly realms within us. There are different levels of glory within us. We need to listen to what he's doing on the inside of us. There are realms within us by the Holy Spirit that we can tap into that we have not tapped. Now I've not even gotten to what I'm going to say. This is just to prepare the way for you, just to get you excited, to tell you, if I say to you that you're a word out of the mouth of God, you're not just, you know, it's not just a little concept. This is powerful. Verse 21, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show myself to him. I will reveal myself to him. Where?
Inside.
Was it Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. What do we sometimes do? Lord, give me more love. Eh? How is he going to get it? The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. Romans 5:5, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's like the same thing. Lord, give me double portion, double portion. You're not in the Old Testament, man. Where is he going to get the double portion from? Because if he can get some, then we've got to go to the guy that's above God. Okay? He's given it all to us. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, it was finished. The job was done. He's done everything he's ever going to do. He's put it in us. And he's not just put it in us. He came and he has put himself in us. The fullness of the Godhead bodily, the scripture says, lives in us. So after this, you can never come to me and say, well, you know, I'm struggling with this. Eh? Oh, I feel so sorry for myself. You're accepted in the Beloved, is what the Word says. And who's the Beloved? It's us and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And where are they? In us. Knowing that He's in us, if we love Him and obey Him, He will reveal Himself to us. Where? In us. And what's happening? What's the process? We've seen it now twice already. Christ being formed in you. That we start seeing the manifested Christ, because the veil has been lifted. It's not like an Old Testament. The veil's been lifted off us. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. There. Go meditate that for a couple of weeks, and then we'll see you back here, and then we'll see the glory of God on you. Amen. There's enough word in there to keep you busy for the next year. I mean, I prayed over Matthew 5 verse 8 for 2 years every day. So that should keep you busy for more than 2 years. John 17 verse 20 to 23. Remember, it's the famous prayer that Jesus prayed. Neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe me through the word and teaching. Does that include us? Yes, it does. So that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me. Where's the glory? I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me. Where's the glory? In us. What does the word say? The whole earth shall be filled with his glory. Where's the glory? Inside. Who can release the glory? Us. So why is there no glory being manifested? Because we don't know who we are. We don't know who he is in us. We don't know who we are in him. And so we are walking under condemnation most of the time, and walking in the past. We're not walking in the now. We're not walking in the reality of this. And so the glory is not released. It's not, the glory will be seen in the whole earth. And who can cover the whole earth? Us. Okay? I I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me. Just a point on this unity thing. Rick Joyner said that if we get together to establish unity amongst the believers, and it's just unity for unity's sake, then we've achieved nothing. Now, what normally happens is we get together, pastoral fraternals and so on, for the unity of the brothers and all that stuff. But so what? Then we get this unity. Then what? But there's a scripture that says the unity of the faith. And that word faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which is faith. The faith that I release when I believe for something. What he wants is not unity of doctrine. Not unity because, you know, it's us as a group, the Rain International people, we get together and we have unity. No, there's a unity of faith. Because I will not necessarily always agree with my brother who is of a different denomination. But faith comes from God. We each have the measure of faith, right? So, there are many things that we can release our faith together for if it's in line with the Word. We can release our faith, unity of faith, when Derek and I believe for the salvation of a group of people, for instance. Say there's pygmies or something up in Africa. So the unity of the faith, so Derek is a Methodist and I'm a Presbyterian. So we come in the unity of the faith because the Word says He wants all souls to be saved, right? Nobody to perish. So we take hands and we faith together, unity of the faith together for their salvation. But we might not agree. He on other things. He might believe, yes, you got to, when you baptize people three times, dum, 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 under the water, and I say, well, just do it once in the name of Jesus. But we can agree in faith. But we will never, I don't believe that we will ever get to the place where we agree as far as doctrine is concerned. Because it's not about doctrine, it's about the unity of the faith. But you see, if he's in me and I'm in him and so forth, then there's a unity that's going to come differently. If we realize that he's given us the glory and there's a unity of that glory and that grace and so forth, that brings a different slant to it. And I'm not going to get more into that. I mean, again, this is a subject for another day. But he says that the world may know and recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. So if they start seeing the glory on us, do they have to agree with our doctrine? No. Because the glory of God is the glory of God. As easy as that. Amen? And that's simply because he's in us and we are in him. How is it that we can be in him? Remember what I shared before in the book of Genesis. Eve was taken out of Adam, out of his side. Right? And that was a prophetic type of the church being born. When Jesus was on the cross, the soldier came and stuck him in the side. Water and blood came out. Water and blood normally gushes forth when a woman gives birth. So the church was born, but the church spiritual was born. Okay? And what actually happened, yes, spiritually the church was born, but the church was put back into Christ. And so, he's in us, but we are in him, because we've been put back there. And so this brings a different, totally different concept. We're in him and he's in us. We're one with him. Amen? And he says, I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. There you go. John chapter 1. So we're visiting John a little bit. John 1 from verse 1 to 6. And now we're starting to get to the Word. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word. Or Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God Himself, says the Amplified. Okay? So when we meditate on the Word, when we release our faith in the Word, what are we doing? We're releasing God into the situation. Amen? And that's powerful. That's why when we release our faith, when we start praying for things, we need to be really careful, because the power of death and life is in the tongue. And so we might think that we're praying something or we're declaring something, but we're actually not releasing God. And so it's important that we know the word. Psalm 56 verse 4 says this: by the help of God, I will praise His word. How can I praise His word? The word is Christ. The word is Christ. He's a person. On God I lean, rely, and confidently put my trust. I will not fear. What can man, who is flesh, do to me? Verse 10, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. You can only praise the word if He's a person. Amen. Verse 2 of John chapter 1. He was present originally with God, the Word, Christ. All things were made and came into existence through Him, the Word. And without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Right. So how did you come into being? How did I come into being? By the Word. So God must have spoken a word and said, skulk be. Okay? Lindy B. Derek B. Now, just on that, are you an accident then?
No.
So even if you were conceived in the back seat of a Volkswagen Beetle, no thing was made without Him speaking it into existence. So a lot of people that were, for instance, conceived out of wedlock, and I'm using a kind of crass example, in the backseat of the Foxy, which means they weren't married, probably. But what does that do for the person who was conceived that way? A lot of people have this thing about it. Yeah, you know what, my parents never married. I was conceived in the backseat of the Foxy, and they never married anyway, and you know, my mother's been single and looking after me. And, you know, you walk through life like the second-rate citizen. But if everything, not even one thing made without Him speaking it, then how special are you? And I have not even come to the thing that I'm going to say. How special are you? You should not suffer from rejection. If you suffered from rejection or inferiority or something before you were born again, now you don't have to anymore, because He had you in mind. He had a picture of you in His heart, and He spoke you into being, just like He said, okay, let the moon be, and let the earth be, and let the animals be, and the trees and the fishes. He knew exactly what He wanted, and He spoke it into existence. And then He said, oh, Derek is a good idea, man. Derek B. Hey, Sasha, Sasha, that's a good idea. Wow, that's good. Sasha. Out of nothing comes Sasha. Eh? How awesome is that? Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So where is their life and where is their light of men? So you are the light of men because of Him. When you come on the scene, the light arrives. And it's no thing for pride, because you realize it's not your light. You're a carrier. You're a vessel of that light. You're the ark that comes with the light, with the Shekinah. When you come into the scene, life should flow. Release should flow. People should just perk up just because you're there. This kind of Christianity that when we're around worldly people, and all, you know what? When we're around, even worldly people, they should start perking up. I remember years ago in a sales office, I didn't even understand a lot of these things. But I understood that God said to me, you will be a light in the world. That I understood. And worldly people came to me and said to me, you know what, you're the first Christian that I feel so good about and so good to be around. And I mean, they would use funny language that we shouldn't be using. And they said, it's so very good to have you around. You know, you're the first Christian that I just want to be with you. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. And I knew it wasn't me. When a worldly person can tell you, you know what, I see this Jesus in you. That's a blessing. And I knew then I was imperfect and that I have not arrived even today. But for them to see that, that is a blessing. They didn't get all, you know, well, geez, so Jan is a Christian, you know, we can't, you know, we better. They didn't. I was just me. And because it was just me, the light just would shine out. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines on in the darkness. If there's darkness in your own heart, you let it shine there to bring light and to set you free. Because things that are hidden in darkness, that's where the enemy has his little paws. For the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or has not absorbed it. It has not appropriated it and is unreceptive to it. If I switch this light off in this room, the darkness comes. The moment I switch the light on, it leaves. I have the light of the world in me. Where I go, the light comes. You can't go to Game or Checkers or Pick and Pay and go to the electrical section and buy darks and then plug them into. In daytime, you put it into the light socket up here, and then you flick the switch, and all of a sudden the room goes, you can't see the sun. So it's even in the natural, it's that way. Yes, I know we have dark lights. Remember those black lights? But they emit light, and so if you have clothes on, like if I have this sweater, this jersey that I have on, it will show all sorts of funny colors. The white would show up. Remember the days that we used to go to the discos, and they all had these lights, and you smile, and all you see is teeth. Remember, and you have a very good tan under those lights. Remember, and you look at somebody's hair, and it's all full of speckles and stuff. You know. Remember those days, but there is not a dark that you can switch on. And then the light leaves. But the light that you and I have is so much more powerful. It is the light. It's the everlasting light. It's him. And then verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. And he, verse 7, he was a witness to the light, etc., etc. Okay. John 1:1. Verse 1-4. And it sounds very similar to John 1:1. We are writing about the word of life in him who existed from the beginning. Remember, he said that earlier. Whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our own eyes. They saw the physical Jesus. Whom we have gazed upon for ourselves and have touched with our own hands. And the life, which is an aspect of his being, was revealed, made manifest, and we saw as eyewitnesses and are testifying to and declare to you the life, the eternal life in him, who already existed with the Father and who actually was made visible, was revealed to us, his followers. The light came, put on an earth suit, a body, and we could see him. Just like you have an earth suit on. But who lives in you? The light. So it's the same light as on an earth suit. Whose image are you created after? Verse 3. What we have seen and ourselves heard, we are also telling you, so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. They saw something, and he says, I'm telling you this too, so you can also partake and realize and understand. You have the light. You have the life. You have the person of God in you, walking right around on the face of the earth, in his earth suit, your body, and he's doing the same as what Jesus did. If we will just only believe it and renew our minds to that fact. It doesn't make you Jesus, but we are the body of Christ. We are partakers. We have been put in him, and he has been put in us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians. Unbelievers don't have that light. They have fellowship, yes. And that's a distinguishing mark. They have different spirit that they operate in many times. Especially when they go to the keg and turtle or the keg and aviator or whatever it is. This fellowship we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And we are now writing these things to you so that our joy in seeing you included may be full and your joy may be complete. Okay, he was writing to specific people, but they're future people, which is us. So they're in heaven. They're spectators in heaven. They know of us. They were looking forward, these guys in heaven, apostles and prophets and from old. And here we are. They have great joy when they hear what God is doing on the earth and that we come to the realization of who Christ is in us and who we are in him. Amen? So, I think we get the point. He's in us, we're in him, and it's awesome. John 5. Are you enjoying this so far? John 5 verse 19 and 20. So Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing from himself of his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. Where would he see the Father doing these things? In us, inside him, in those realms that are within us, those realms of heaven, those heavenly realms that are within us, that's where we'd see the Father. He is able to do only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way. Whatever he sees the Father doing, that is what he does. Whatever he hears the Father saying, that is what he says. Where? Inside him. Inside, yeah. Sounds like New Age stuff, eh? But you see, they have a half a truth. They say that we are gods. In fact, they say we are God. But we're not. We're just containers. There's one God. We contain God, but we are not God. The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses and shows to him everything that he himself does. Does the Father dearly love you? How do we know? John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. Did you ever? So if he so dearly loves you, and he says he dearly loves the Son, and where does the Son live? The Son lives in you. So he shows the Son everything that he does himself. But you're a son of God. You're not the Son of God, but you're a son of God. So he dearly loves you. So he's going to show you everything that he himself does. We just got to believe it. We just got to listen. We just got to spend time in his word. We just got to spend time listening. Looking in the Spirit. And he will disclose to him. He will let him see greater things yet than these. So that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. Did Jesus not say that we will do the same as he did and greater things? Right, where does the greater things come from? He says, he will disclose to him, the Father will disclose to the Son, you're a son of God. He will let you see greater things yet than these. So that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. Tell you, if we can just get this, what I've read the last couple of minutes. Ephesians chapter 1. From verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus the Messiah by the divine will of God to the saints, the consecrated set apart ones at Ephesus and those in Van Riebeek Park in Kempton Park, South Africa, and everyone who is listening to the CD. Those who are also faithful and loyal and steadfast in Christ Jesus. Notice that. We need to also be loyal and faithful and steadfast. May grace and spiritual peace be yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then starts verse 3. And verse 3 to 14 in the original language is one sentence, which I'm not going to read right now. But I want to read verse 3 and 4. Blessing be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us. Where? In Christ. Where has He blessed you? Where are you? So are you blessed? Why are you not walking in it? That's right, Lindy says, because your kop is nie reg nie. Your head has not been renewed. Your mind is not renewed. And because your mind is not renewed, your heart and your mind can't come into agreement and your faith doesn't work. Because it's a known fact. We all know this, but we're not exercising our faith. We are not releasing our faith. Amen? Faith is a doing word. After this weekend's business conference, I saw it again. Faith is a doing word. It's active. Because the word of God is active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. Doesn't it say active and sharper than a two-edged sword? Active. That's a good message. Active. I must go look that up. Blessing be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, Holy Spirit given blessing in the heavenly realms. Where is the heavenly realm? In us, because God is there. And verse 19 happens to say, and what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength? Now, verse 4. This is the verse. Even as He chose us. He actually picked us out for Himself as His own in Christ before the foundation of the world, so that we should be holy and blameless in His sight, even above reproach before Him in love. All right. Even as He chose. That word chose, or chosen in some translations. We were chosen. We were what? Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the earth. That word chosen or chose is the Greek word eklegomai. E-K-L-E-G-O-M-A-I. Ek means to take out of. So, I have, give me your bag there. They put something, put this in there. So here's Annika's bag. And I choose, I ek this bookmark out of the bag. This is the whole bag. And this was in the bag. I take it out of. It was in the bag. Okay? Ik Lego. Do we know the word Lego? What is Lego? pieces of blocks that we all as children at some point have or had, and children still get today. Very expensive toy, but a very nice toy. Little blocks that you fit together, and then you can build just about anything. I've seen aeroplanes, and I've seen hot air balloons. I've seen merry-go-rounds. I've seen anything built out of Lego. Can you do anything with one little Lego block? No. But if you start building the Legos together, what do you get? You get a picture of something. You get something that looks exactly like the real thing. Okay? It's an imitation, though. Lego is where, at its root, has the word logos. Lego comes from the word logos. That's one of the root words. What is logos? The word of God. Right? Jesus is known in the scripture as the logos, isn't it? Okay. From Genesis chapter 1, what do we see? We see them sinning and so forth and so forth. And so then God comes with a plan that was established before the foundation of the earth. Christ was crucified from before the foundation of the earth. All right? The living word that was with God, that is God, etc., etc. And he comes to the prophets, those that hear him. And he comes and he says to prophet Anika, she lived in those days. And he says to her, the Messiah is coming. And he's powerful and he's anointed and he will have the sevenfold spirit and etc., etc. Okay. She believes it and she writes it down and she goes and she sings it and tells it to the people. And it gets written down. 100 years later, Prophet Derek, and shall be wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And then he says, he reads the writings, he says, but Prophet Anika said, okay, she got one Lego block. He gets another Lego block or two. And there's Prophet Lindy, Old Testament. And it says there that he has carried the sins of the people in his body, and by his stripes they are healed, etc., etc., etc. And so he gets another few Lego blocks, and so is Prophet Skulk, etc., etc. Until all the Legos of the Logos that was in heaven before the foundation of the earth, block for block, gets spoken into the earth. Until the entire word is in the earth. And the Logos is there. But the word of God is the seed of God. Right? That's what the word tells us. I mean, there are a lot more scriptures. I don't have time to get into all of that. The Amplified Bible says the word is the sperm of God, the seed of God. It's his life. It is who he is. Okay. So the prophets start speaking. They prophesied, they prophesied, they prophesied. And they're waiting for that specific time. Not the Kronos time, the Kairos time. Because do we know exactly when the entire Lego block of the word is going to be in the earth? Do we know that? No. But there came a time. And the Legos became Logos, and it was in the earth. And so there was this divine seed, the sperm. And so this divine sperm is looking for a womb. It's in the spirit. There it is. Looking for this womb. So guess what? This Logos is ready. It's full. The DNA is there. Everything is ready. Okay? So the angel comes and says, Mary, and he tells her the whole story about Jesus and you'll be pregnant and etc., etc. And what did she say? She said, as you said, let it be unto me. And she received it. The moment she did that, what happened to that sperm? That divine seed in the spirit came. Mary became pregnant. With the physical word, the Logos. How do we still believe God today? He gives us a rhema word. A little part of the Logos, which is a little seed. And he's looking for that womb. And he says to Skulk, Skulk, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go into the business world. I want you to do that. Are you prepared to believe that? And his corpse says, his head says, no, but it feels so good in my heart. And he says, yes, Lord, whatever you say, I'll believe it. And it goes in there. Guess what? He becomes pregnant spiritually. And if he believes it and he starts speaking it and he starts speaking that word into the earth, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come to pass. He's going to give birth to that. And he's going to have many businesses. He's going to be a millionaire. Are you excited? Good. Lindy's excited. He's going to be a millionaire. But that's how it works. But the same with Lindy. Same with Derek. Same with Sasha. Same with me. Same with you. So there she was. There she was, pregnant with the word. And he came and he lived amongst men, and John said that he touched him, etc., etc., so that we can, and they saw the light in him, he was the light, etc. And so he's telling us so that we can be partakers and all excited about it. Alright? Okay. The word chosen. You were chosen. Ek lego mai. You were taken out of the word. You were one of the Lego blocks. Out of the word. Even as he chose us, eklegomai'd us, he took us out of the word. So what are you? A word. You're a piece of the word. That's why you're in Christ, because he's the full word. Living stones, because Christ is the rock. So what are you? You're a little rock. That's part of the big rock. So next time you see those Lego toys, now when you have children, guess what you're going to buy first? Lego. Come, let daddy explain to you about this little block. You're a little Lego. Anyway. So, he chose us. Where? In him, in Christ, in the word. When? Before the foundation of the earth, you already were in his heart. That is why you've heard me say this. You meet a Christian and it's like your heart goes, hey, don't I know you? Hey, Derek, yeah. Derek Ward, oh man, I've heard that name. I'm sure I've heard that name before. You know why you heard that name before? Because you were a little word in God's heart before. That's where you know him from. The reason why the world doesn't know who they are is because Kelly Varner says they've fallen on their heads. They've got memory loss. That's what happens, you know. You get born and you come out and boom, you fall on your head. No. No, not really.
No, not really.
But we've fallen on our heads. Until you come to Christ, you've fallen on your head. Because you have got memory loss. You don't remember. And so Christ comes. And he's the head. And guess what? You get the mind of Christ. And you get your memory back. So, where were you chosen? In him, in Christ. When? Before. Why? That we should be holy and without blame in him. So, you have no blame. Whatever you did before, you have no blame. Because he chose you, he took you out before the foundation of the earth so that you can be holy, set apart, and be without blame. Oh, I feel so terrible. When I was 3, I stole a toffee from mommy. He chose you out of the word from before the foundation of the earth so that you can be holy and without blame in him. I'm not finished yet. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Let's read from verse 6. Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Is he near you? Yes. Can he be found? Yes. There's a Christian, he's within you. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So, can you be wicked and unrighteous in Christ?
Yes,
because you can be walking in your way. He says, let the wicked forsake his way. This is when we don't walk in his ways, our way. Let the wicked. You're wicked if you don't walk in his ways. If you're walking in your own way, you're wicked. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. So if our minds are not renewed, and that's why I always hammer it. We struggle with all sorts of stuff, but the thing is, we are unrighteous because our thought life is not renewed. He says, the unrighteous man, his thoughts. You can be born again, have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and all that, and you can still be unrighteous in your actions and the way that you live. Yes, the blood has washed you clean. Yes, if you died, you go to heaven, all that kind of stuff, right? But you walk unrighteously. The unrighteous man must forsake his thoughts. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. And let him return to the Lord. He says when you forsake your thoughts, those thoughts that are not in line with him, the unrighteous thoughts, you return to the Lord. How's that? Powerful. And he will have love, pity, and mercy on him. And to our God, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. That's why sometimes we go to God and we repent of our sins and we still feel like dogs afterwards. Why? Because we have not changed our minds. We have not made a metanoia, a 180 degree turn. That's what repentance means, to have a change of heart and mind. It's not just running forward in church or wherever. And Lord, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Metanoia, to repent, means to have a change of heart and mind. The two must come into agreement. You can be sorry in your heart, but if the cup doesn't change, then you have a problem. Then he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. We're not thinking his thoughts. Religion has taken this and said, oh, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Man, of course you can have his thoughts. You just read the Bible and you renew your mind to that. He didn't say you can't have his thoughts. Hey? Because you have the mind of Christ. So how can you not have his thoughts? Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Religion takes, oh, his ways are higher than ours. We can never understand the ways of God. Of course you can. We just read all these other scriptures. You can know the will of God. You can know who he is. He said he will show you clearly what he does, and so you can do. Eh? Then he says, for as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Who's a word, yeah? Are we words?
Yes.
So shall my word? So shall my word, Derek, be that goes forth out of my mouth. He shall not return to me void without producing any effect. He will not be useless, but Derek, my word, shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and Derek, my word, shall prosper in the thing for which I sent him. That takes pressure off you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So just listen, see what he does, and do that. Because we perform, man. Oh, we got to go and evangelize, we got to do that. Maybe you are the word that's not supposed to go and evangelize from door to door or whatever it is. If you are just that light, then just when they're around you, I mean, that's the most effective way of evangelism. They see it. You start living it. Can his word fail?
No.
You're a word out of his mouth. Can you fail?
No.
Even if you were conceived in the back seat of the Volkswagen, can you fail? No. Do you have to feel condemnation? No. Do you have to feel rejection? No, because you cannot fail, because you're a word that will not return unto him void without accomplishing that which he sent you forth to do. That word, you cannot return to him unfulfilled. You cannot return to him without achieving success. You're a success just waiting to happen. You are a special word from the heart of God. You have something to say and do for God that no one else can say or do. You were wonderfully and fearfully made by God in your mother's womb. Psalm 139 verse 13, it says in the King James that you were embroidered in your mother's womb. You know what embroidery is? I remember my grandmother used to do embroidery, and she had these little clumps of this most fantastic colors, oranges, bright oranges and greens and shades of purple and so on, embroidery thread that she had. And then she would have this the thing that she would embroider, and she would embroider flowers and roses and fruits, and they would stick out. They would be like thick. You could actually feel them. They stick out like that. It used to fascinate me. I used to watch her do that. The care that it would take. She would come and visit us, and we would go and visit, you know, and then it's a month, and then it's 6 months later, and she's still busy embroidering it. And that every time I would see her, it's just more beautiful and more beautiful. That's the care that he took to embroider you, to put you together in your mother's womb. And you can't fail. That's a picture that he embroidered. It's a word that he embroidered. And that will come to pass. We've just got to tap in to those heavenly realms that are within us and see what he sees. And just go. In Christ, your life has already been lived. You've just got to step into that. When you were born again, he completed you in Christ, beginning to end. Your whole life was completed in him. And so he takes you back to the start, and he says, okay, in Christ you have already lived. Your life is consummated and consumed in Christ. So now start living it out. There's a video of your life in heaven. Now just get into the action. The problem is we try and live somebody else's video. So we're not even an extra in the movie. You're the main star in your movie. And God loves watching it. Puts up his feet, puts a heavenly TV on, and checks, there's Skark, main star. There is a time and a season for everything. Your birthday was a scheduled event. Now I would say the day that you were conceived was a scheduled event, without a doubt. Amen. The complete word of God is the Logos. One verse is a saying or a word within the context of the whole Logos, a rhema that God speaks to us. I have four rhemas that God's speaking to me about my life and my ministry. Quickens in your heart. That's a rhema word out of the Logos. Each of us is a unique word within the totality of God's word, and he has sent us forth, and we have become flesh. God needs a human body to express himself through. Yours. He needs yours. Everything from heaven comes into your spirit first. It's not going to go anywhere else. It comes into your spirit first. You are special, Lindy. God will put it in your spirit first before he allows it to go out there. That's how special you are. You are chosen. So he comes and he puts it in your spirit. And it sits there until we realize it, until we take it and we do something. Your body is needed to deliver this command, whatever it is he gives you. Your mouth bridges the gap between the spirit and the natural to launch the word accurately. And that's why the confession of the mouth is so powerful. You release your faith. You release the vision of God. You release whatever God has. You prophesy it into being, just the same way as in Genesis 1 he spoke things into being. The same way. You speak that which he puts into you out of your mouth. Your mouth bridges the gap between the spirit and the natural. If you don't speak in line with the word of God, if you don't speak it out at all, it's not going to happen. And we saw this again this past weekend. Ron taught on that specifically, the confession of the mouth. Now you understand why that is so important. This is a completely different angle of the same thing, the confession of the mouth. You're the establishing witness. If it doesn't come out of your mouth, it's not going to come out, because you're a specific, special word out of the mouth of God. And so that's why it's important that we spend time with him. We spend time in his word. We renew our minds. We fill ourselves with his word. We pray in the spirit until that word is sharp and clear, and we start releasing it. We start releasing it. Amen?
Amen.
Did you learn?
Yes.
Right. You're going to put into practice?
Yes.
Amen. Father, we worship you. We thank you that we are living words out of your heart. And Father, thank you that you teach us by your Spirit all of these wonderful things that were shared tonight. That our mouths line up with that which you have placed in our spirit. that you do nothing, Lord, until it first comes into our hearts from heaven. And so, Father, we commit tonight that we will accurately deliver your commands, and that we will use our mouths to bridge the gap between the spirit and the natural, and to launch your word into the earth accurately. We declare our futures with our mouth, Lord, and we commit to place a guard before our lips, to watch what we say, to renew our minds. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for that which you've done. But Lord, we thank you that that good work which you have started in us, you are busy completing it. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.